wind your, but before that, wind yourself up over at Crooner's, and have yourself a hot club time. So, as I say, blackness will save us, blackness will save us, blackness will save us, or three comes to be. And when we see, we'll all be free. Viva la todos America, all of America, all of who we are. Stay tuned for a medicine bundle. And with that, I say peace.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org. Radio without boundaries.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
Time just at me and say it with your chest. Last time I saw you, you couldn't say less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Boy, you act on my ex, got a lot to address. How am I pretending Razzie when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending I'm blood condoms in the red? Got a tribal ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is.
Happy Friday. Welcome to Medicine Bundle. I'm your host, Deanna Standing Cloud. I am looking forward to this next hour with you all. I'm just freestyling the content. I was just thinking seasonally and thinking about summer. And speaking of summer, it's flying by and it's going by very fast. I mean, this is midsummer pretty much right now, and a couple of weeks ago I've already seen back to school signage and things like that, so it is flying by. And I am just reminded to take in the present moment and to be present with my family, be present with my children, and to just really think about the blessings that are all around, and think about how fortunate I am to just to be born as an Anishinaabe, as a woman, as a mother, and just surrounded by so much love, and born into this special place. Minishota Makoche is such a beautiful place. The water itself is just such a healing space, and it's a very special place located on Turtle Island. So when you look at the anatomy of Turtle Island, the Great Lakes area is such a huge piece of the turtle, Mikinak, Wajing. Oh my gosh. I was thinking of Turtle Mountain, but the Mikinuk Island and the Great Lakes area is such a special, it's like a vital organ on Turtle Island. So we're just here. We're blessed. I was outside yesterday and I got bit up, and I think I'm just one of those kind of people who just attracts bugs. And I wasn't even outside for very long. Like, I would say in total, not even, you know, well, I was actually outside for a while, maybe a total of 2 hours. But yeah, I got bit up, and it wasn't just mosquitoes either. It was like other little bugs. I couldn't even identify them. I was just, all I was thinking about was how creepy and crawly I felt. I took like 2 showers. I took some Benadryl because I was just so itchy. And if you're, you know, I'm one of those people, and not everybody has the same experience when they're outside. But for me, that's my experience. But I embrace it. I love where I'm from. Yesterday, I was just reflecting on how blessed I am to be surrounded by so much beauty, so much joy, so many family members, so much love, because it's, I just feel blessed. I feel honored to be able to carry on the legacy of my family. I am now the matriarch of my family. So from my grandma's side, Grandma Thal, I'm the matriarch. So I thought about it, and both of her daughters have passed away, and I'm the eldest daughter. So I was actually the second grandchild born. First of all, being my cousin Nicholas Graves. So he was first born on our family. And then I was second. So I'm the matriarch. So I was just thinking about just like what that means and how honored and how entrusted I have been by my ancestors and by the spirit world to be here in that role. And it's just incredible. So I was in my feels yesterday. I was like, and it just comes out of nowhere too. And I feel like it's some of that grief, you know, because I have lost so many of my close family members recently in recent years, just since 2022. And, you know, I'm a new person. I'm a different person after all of that. And recently, I just lost my sister, Mary, and she adopted me as her sister. So it just changes a person. And the grief, of course, comes and goes, and it comes when you don't expect it. Like, where I don't even know where I was yesterday, and I was just crying. And, you know, like, and I feel like I'm not gonna like push those feelings away. I'm gonna let it come, embrace it, and let it go, because that's the only way that I can be able to process things in a healthy way. And if I try to, like, if it comes, like the feeling of like loss and sadness, if it comes and I try to push it away or like try to mute it somehow, it's still there. It's not gonna go away until like I embrace it. And I decided that because I'm the matriarch of my family, and because I want to create a new experience for my descendants and my bloodline, I wanted to just process my stuff, you know. And I just got done watching, so Tubi, for some reason, has a bunch of Native content. So if you are asleep on Tubi, it's free. But I saw some posts on socials about a documentary that came out in 2019, 2020 or so, called First Contact. And when I think of first contact, I'm like, I always think of aliens. That's just where my mind goes. But I'm like, first contact. But what it is like they take a group of Caucasian white people, you know, well off. And often their mindset is super racist against Native people. And this is based in Canada. So when they refer to Indigenous people, they'll, you know, use First Nations. So they take this group. It's like maybe six people, men and women. And they interview them about their feelings about Indigenous people at the beginning. And then they take them on this 28-day tour. And they don't tell them where they're going. Like, they don't give them an itinerary or anything. But I thought the 28 days was actually kind of cool because in our, you know, in our culture, a lot of our Indigenous culture, our cycles are 28 days. You know, we go with the moon cycles, and that's a complete month. I know with the Gregorian calendar, there are some fluctuations past 28 days, but that's just like a not an Indigenous perspective worldview or a way of marking time. So I thought that was cool. But it's 28 days, and, you know, they take them to all these experiences, and it's like, you know, like take them to... very, like, the first season, it was like they took the folks to a Native family's house. And they were, like, middle class, you know, they were educated. It was a whole family, like, a dog and a house. And they were in sports. And, like, it was, like, a mom and a dad and a child. And it was a very nice home. And there was, like, you know, it's like, oh, they thought... that all Natives lived in poverty and they weren't educated. So that was like a flipped on their head right away. And they spent the night there. And they, you know, my observation was that there was even times when there was, you know, conflict and like very colonized way of looking at things. And the Native families, because they were in their homes and in their spaces, and they were so loving, so giving, cooked for them, offered them gifts, offered them kindness, offered them love. And I've seen that so many times where it's like non-Native people will come into our communities and they're shown up with love. And it's like... I feel like those people who are non-Native or white, their whole perspectives are changed because that's who we are as people, as we're love. I know, you know, we have a lot of resistance and we have, there's so much trauma, and that trauma manifests itself into anger, you know. But at the core of who we are as Native people is love, and we're very kind, and we're giving, and we're respectful, and we think about the seven teachings, and that's our foundation as Native people, and it's encoded in our DNA. So at the end, well, and there was also some visits to like very remote communities, you know, like... the Inuit community, very like I've never been up there, and it's, you know, like showed how difficult it was to like survive and get food, and they hunted for seal. My daughter was actually watching with me and she was very traumatized, so I had to explain to her the hunting aspect of who we are. And, you know, a person who is for animal rights and things, it's hard to explain to someone about our hunting, like our philosophy around hunting animals. So for Indigenous people, We look at things not only in the physical, but also spiritual aspect of things. And we think way back to like the creation of human beings. And like early on, our creator, you know, met with the animals and explained, you know, I'm going to be sending these beings to the planet, and you know, like how can we all kind of get together and take care of these new beings, because they're going to be very pitiful. They're going to need so many things. So if you think to like if there is a family getting ready for a new baby. And the mom was pregnant, and they kind of had a family meeting, like, I'm going to need you to do this. You're going to have to cook, you have to clean, you have to help me with the baby and this and that. So it was kind of like that. Like, let's gather up, have a family meeting and talk about our new baby that's coming and what we're all going to, you know, contribute to their well-being. And the animals, they are our ancestors. They are so much more older than us, and they are so much more wiser, and they're so much more connected to the earth. They, you know, they stepped up and they told the creator, you know, hey, I love these beings so much that I agree that they can take my body as food. It's okay, because I, you know, like, I'm going to sacrifice my own flesh and my skin, my fur, everything for them so that they can live. And it's like for someone who's not indigenous and doesn't have that worldview, it's a little, It's a different view, right? Because you know, I don't know. It's like if you put a colonized lens on that. But in our, you know, in our worldview and the way that we were taught, they're animals. They offered themselves, and it's kind of like a treaty that we had. We still have that we have with the animals. So an agreement, a spiritual treaty that they sacrifice for us. And it's not like, oh, we're going to go and take and just, you know, till they're extinct. That's not the philosophy. So our philosophy is we harvest what we need, and then that's, and that includes animals, that includes plants, that includes the water, that includes medicines growing and the trees for our shelter or tools or, you know, things like that. So it's a reciprocal relationship. So anywho, with that, I was trying to explain that to my daughter, my 5-year-old, because she was like, why would they kill a seal, you know? And because on the show, I don't want to like spoiler alert, but they kill the seal, but he was on the water. So I guess sometimes seals float so that you can go take them and harvest them. Sometimes they sink, and then that's a loss. And they, because food is so sparse up there, that's a risk that they take. So sometimes when they hunt, the seal dies. So it's such a hard concept for, you know, a colonized viewpoint to understand. But that's where we're coming from, and that's we have an agreement with the animals long before, long time ago, in the spirit world, and it's still upheld. So that's why when we do harvest and we do hunt, we offer tobacco, because that tobacco is part of that treaty, part of that agreement. It's like, okay, we are offering tobacco as a sign of respect and also for their journey too, you know. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for sacrificing your body so that I and my family can live and my community, you know, for clothing, for shelter, for tools, like the bones. So that's how we think. That's how we roll as Indigenous people. So my suggestion is to check that out. First Contact, I wish they had more seasons. I'm not sure what happened there, but I think it ended in 2020 or 2021 or something. But check it out. It's on Tubi. And there's a bunch of Native stuff on Tubi. So don't sleep on Tubi because it's going down over there. It's free, too. So, yeah. So that's that. And I was just thinking about summer. And I was also thinking about powwows. And I'm going to share a little bit of some powwow love, maybe some songs. Hey, I don't know. But since it's like seasonal, you know, so I'm going to share a little bit of some powwow jams. You're listening to Medicine Bundle on KFAI.
Oh,
So that was the sound of Power MC. And as some of you might know, I also do power emceeing, and it's a little, it's fun. You know, it's fun, and I've attended powwows as a kid, but I didn't really, like, dance, or I never was, like, a backup singer, or, you know, like, I didn't get too deep into the culture of a powwow. So as an adult learning to MC a powwow, I learned a lot about that stuff, about the culture, about the protocols and like how things go. So it's good for me to know those things. I kind of want my daughter to like get involved. I want to sew her a jingle dress and just be involved. I feel like it'll be fun, and it's a good way to keep them busy on something positive and celebrate our culture. So I think with my youngest, I think I want to try to do that. So if you're a powwow family, let me know. Let me know some things, because I basically get up there at powwow. And I do smaller powwows. I don't do, like, these big contest powwows. I don't think people at contest powwows are ready for me yet. Ay. But anywho. So, just, yeah. So, it's powwow season. It's summertime. It's midsummer. And this is when, if you look up into the stars, there's that Big Dipper. Well, we call it the fissure in Anishinaabe cosmology. It's the fissure. But I've also been told by my Hunka family, my Oglala Hunka family, when you look up and you see that the Big Dipper is up, like upright, that means it's time to collect medicines. So I was thinking about medicines. I don't know much about gathering medicines. I know enough. Like, I know, like, the foundational of why and how. I would love to learn more. I want to, in my later years here, my recent years, just to learn more about the things that I've always been so fascinated about. I don't want to, like, yield to such a fast-paced mentality. I want to be able to learn about plant medicines around me. And I feel like learning about plant medicines is really helping us to be present. So with that, we're going to take a little bitty break. And when we come back, we might talk about medicines or some more powwow jams. So stay tuned. You're listening to Medicine Bundle, and I am Deanna Standing Cloud.
Support for KFAI comes from the Hooka Ladder Theater's Under the Canopy music series, presenting Our House, the music of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, on Saturday, July 19th. Our House concerts are more than a tribute. They serve as an ode to the lives and ingenious artistry of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, celebrating and upholding the music that resonated through their work. Special guest Taming the Tiger opens with a tribute to Joni Mitchell. Tickets and information about Our House in concert on July 19th at the Hook and Ladder are available at thehookmpls.com.
Support for KFAI comes from The Dakota, presenting The Baylor Project, Tuesday, July 15th. Husband and wife Marcus and Jean Baylor are The Baylor Project, performing their very own version of gospel-inspired jazz, blues, and soul, which some call storefront church jazz. With 8 Grammy nominations from their 3 albums, The Baylor Project is celebrated by critics and fans alike. Their live performances have been described as joyful, flirtatious, dynamic, and adorable. More information for the Baylor Project at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting Glass Beams in the First Avenue main room, Monday, July 28th. Melbourne-based Glass Beams creates a psychedelic fusion of traditional Indian music with rhythmic Western rock and funk. Founding member Rahan Silva described Glass Beams' latest EP, Mahal, as a love letter to his Indian heritage. More information about Glass Beams live at First Avenue is available at first-avenue.com.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting an evening with Shamar Allen, Thursday, July 17th. New Orleans singer, songwriter, producer, trumpeter, and multi-instrumentalist, Shamar Allen's latest release is True Orleans 2. RockBluesAndMuse.com calls it a jubilant collection of original songs that melds the diverse style of the Crescent City. More information about an evening with Shamar Allen at the Cedar can be found at thecedar.org.
Bonjour, you are listening to KFAI Fresh Air Community Radio. This is your host, Deanna Standing Cloud for Medicine Bundle, and it is Friday, and it is midsummer 2025, and we are halfway through with our hour, and I just wanted to share a little bit, another story from the Bajamoan book that I brought from my house last week. I just wanted to read like the themes around summertime. This one is told by Anangukwe Marlene Stately, and it is entitled Respect Those Who Dwell in the Water. I'm going to talk about my grandmother, Ja Bokiji Wanuk, today. It's there where I was raised on the Leech Lake Reservation that Minde Muye would set nets, and she would also feast those that live in the water. Firstly, she fed us the fish and the water beings and the different spirits that live there in the water so that she could make a good catch. And the spirit of the fish, it was like they supported her. It is there that I used to go with her. She was teaching me what I would be doing in the future. So, it was my turn. You should feast them, she said. You should feast those spirits who are masters of the water, who look after it. They do not own anything, those here, who look after the water and our land. And it was there that I saw, which was amazing, the one time the lake started up to develop whirlpools. She forgot to do a feast, firstly, for the mermaids. It was there that she did not put a feast dish out and that it was starting to whirlpool. And then that was nearly where we tipped over. We were close there to the reeds, and that's where we came to an abrupt stop. And there I really used a paddle to push that boat backwards. And I think perhaps it was some spirit who helped us move when we got stuck. And so we were able to go back to the landing where we started from. And we went back. So that's where my grandmother chose to stay. I will go and put a dish down. I will talk carefully to the spirits who dwell in the water, she says. And she really went over there. It was really dark when she came back. And she did everything ceremonial-wise. She did not want to use cloth. She only used birch bark and food. She made a circular cut of the birch bark. It was there she put the food. And she was always gifted from the spirits, the spirit of the fish. Her actions helped her to be gifted. And for certain, my grandmother taught me, and I saw a lot of what she did when I helped. When I was with her, she was my elder. And her nets she first soaked in the cedar water before. Before she netted, she even started, she had a feast. Whatever she did, she had a feast, and beforehand she gave tobacco. And she placed the tobacco near the water. My home is no longer there. And then, what is the name? Geez, I lost it. That Naina Buju. How that stick became colored, that knick-knick over there I used. When Naina Buju made it, when he had a bloody rear, the story of the color red willow. I got excited when I hear this. I did not just tell a sacred story. That finished up a while back. And she used that tobacco she made, and she also dried it and baked it. It was there she put down tobacco. It was later that they went there to the store to buy tobacco. They only made this a long time ago. But perhaps today we do not do these things. Too much of in a hurry. We always run over there to the store to buy tobacco. Thus she prepares her net after she finishes cleaning and drying. Only two, not very big, perhaps 3 feet by 100 feet. I don't know how I would say that. Not over there, only by Ball Club Lake she would go set nets. They do it differently over there in Red Lake. She did not put cloth in the water, only a dish and tobacco. My grandmother used birch bark in the process of retrieving nets. She first did this before setting nets. This is what they must have done. When I became engaged over in Red Lake, they did it differently before starting. They placed their things, what they wore in the water, as well as tobacco ties. They do things differently. They were taught to do things by their elders. Before they set nets, this is their priority in Red Lake. There's a slight difference between everything we do. And when we pick berries and what we do, we feasted. Before we left anywhere, when we received a gift or anything we might need, we had a feast. This is what my grandmother did. She cooked and dried the fish. She used to can and dry fish. She always caught sturgeon. The sturgeon tore up the nets. Only two were caught, but they tore up the net. And thus, we did sew and repair the nets. It is there that I started to sew and repair nets. This is what I was told long ago. When my grandmother was a girl, my grandfather caught one mermaid, a mermaid there in the net. And so, he pulled his net up, retrieving her. Please release me. You will come with me if you don't release me. And so he listened, and he let the mermaid go from his net. And at the same time, the weather was bad all day. Perhaps that's why the weather was bad. The old man said, things don't happen for no reason. He spoke to the spirits there in the water, first to calm him so we can go get our nets, and then we could start again. So they calmed down. The weather was calm and the lake was settled. They got their nets and they started up again. And there they were, the ones who caught the mermaid in his net, who nearly drowned. He was barely able to make it to shore. The spirits had empathy for him, and that's why they released him to the shore of the lake. It was much later that the old man would set his net. And the story goes, he did not feast. He did not feast in the proper way. He did not show respect, but today he does. This is why we have feelings of loss. For we no longer do these things of proper feasting and making tobacco offerings. We don't pay attention to our teachings, and thus we will soon be lost. We will lose it all. Perhaps long ago we started losing this. Today our path is different. Our children and great-grandchildren do things differently. They do not know they should feast the spirits first who take care of us and our earth and all those who reside there. And all those who reside in the lake. I don't know if this is happening. They do not know that they should use cedar water to heat and clean their nets, to cleanse them, to purify them. They do not know this process. It is sage that is only known nowadays. How is that sage, sweetgrass, and tobacco are forgotten? I no longer see anyone carrying tobacco. Oh, first let me go to the store, I will get my tobacco. I hear them say, at Big Drum, this should not be used. Not all Anishinaabe carry their tobacco, and they still help each other. It's only when they pay attention. Oh, I too should have had my tobacco. They would forget it, then realize when they come in. Oh, do you have any tobacco? No, some would say. Sometimes they will sell their tobacco, and so this offering is becoming lost. We lost it long ago. When my late husband was in Red Lake, in Redby as it is called, three boys drowned. One of the men was his grandson, and his relative went with my husband's son, and this is when they drowned. You see, when they are using too many nets, and certainly it's becoming, they were using 56 nets out of the water. It's vast on the lake, and thus they did not reach their landing and had too many fish in the nets, and those boys drowned in the water. It was more than 16 days that those boys were searched for. One was found right away. It was his father's net that they used. The one they found. The one that was found, and the one on the eighth day, my husband's son, his grandson. But firstly, my husband went to search out the shaking tent to talk to those spirits who reside in Red Lake and let him go. The elder talked about all these things carefully so the lake would release his grandson, just like there on the other side of the shore. And this happened early in the morning. The water, the lake, were still menacing. So one boy was released early in the morning there, but still, there was one more being held back. He was held back for 16 days. Therefore, that elder came to spoke with them and addressed them. The mermaid did not have a husband. She was lonely. She missed having a husband. She did not have anyone to be her partner. This is why those boys drowned. She needed a partner. She needed to be with someone. That is why the two boys were kept back. Who will she marry? That is what happened here. That's what the elder said, but no one listened. Properly feast the lake. Those that take care of the water in Red Lake, the spirits who dwell there. And that's what the elder said, but nobody listened. And thus, that is when the fish left. They thought they came back there to Red Lake after 10 years or so. Perhaps they will remember to feast those fish and spirits who take care of the water on Red Lake. But still, nobody does this. And also on Bowstring Lake, close to where I was raised, they still do not do this. I have not heard of anyone setting nets, not yet. The men, they no longer hunt anymore. They only play at the casino. Well then, it is perhaps that my grandmother and I, we did not have the containers to prepare for this when we set the nets. I don't know. When we got off the boat, it was probably used that old car hood that they had, that sled, a car hood. We used that to haul fish nets. And yes, we were poor too. The car hood was used as a sled. It was necessary to use to be able to prepare the nets and dry them. We also had to clean the fish. There were always people who needed to be fed, and my grandmother and grandfather always fed them with the fish they had. Today, I know what they would do, perhaps buy fish. I don't know if anyone nowadays knows how to mend nets when they are torn to be repaired. Perhaps they throw them away and have different ones. My mother, my grandmother, and grandfather sewed those nets when repairing them. They smoked the fish. We always had smoked fish. I remember my uncle, he too smoked fish there, but he was a drinker, and thus he would fall asleep over doing it. What's going on? You're burning the fish, my mother says. And you're sleeping there. Are you still falling down drunk? It's cooking the smoked fish. Ask me again, he says. He made her upset when sobering up. He oversmoked the fish. You see, I worked a lot for my grandmother and grandfather. My grandfather taught me about these things I see there now. I remember when he feasted them. He was always feasting. he feasted the spirits. He feasted those who looked after them. He also feasted the trees, the wild rice, the flowers, the mosquitoes, the pine on the shore. You also the spirits who dwell there, the three foremost spirits that live in every lake. You see, they are related to each other over there. Subsequently, no one knows what their names are. I hope they recapture their names, those lead spirits who dwell in the waterways. They offer tobacco to feast them. To know these are Anishinaabe names. It's always being discussed over there in Panema. My father never forgot those spirits in the water, those who watch over us and as we set our nets. And when they hunted ducks, some Anishinaabe people are forgetting all those who reside in the water there. And the deer, when they go out hunting for them, they do not feast them. They do not make tobacco offerings. I hope they return to doing this, our teachings, so that they pay attention to our spirits. This is what I want. I can no longer find anyone who does these things. My parents, my grandmother and grandfather, they did these things. Today, no more. We did hunt, but I no longer do this. I do not go out with anyone to get food to feed us, my children and my grandchildren. We no longer do this. I no longer do this. Perhaps this is enough for my story. Thank you for listening. Wow. So that was a story about the spirits that dwell in the water and the protocols and the daily offerings that we need to offer. I mean, if we get food every day, we have to offer tobacco every day. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, that was intense. That's from the Dabajamoan book, The Anishinaabe Stories of Culture and Respect. And this was published by Glyphwick, the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission out of Odena, Wisconsin. I'm not sure when the year of this was published, but, July 2013. Wow. That was over 12 years ago. And it just goes to show just a little bit of the thing, you know, like, because we're so caught up in the modern world, we're so caught up in buying tobacco. I mean, just recently I was at ceremony and I went to buy the smoked fish. So I was like, I felt seen. No, I felt, you know, like some kind of way, because I didn't actually go fish for those fish and I didn't smoke the fish. But it just, you know, I don't want to like cause anyone to feel bad about these things, because, you know, as a city Indian myself, this is so far removed from anything that we've been taught in our life, you know. And we, when we visit the res, we'll see the land and we'll, you know, we'll hear stories or get teased about certain things that we don't know, or, you know, but really, what we should do in this moment, if this is something that you really want to pursue, is to revitalize a lot of these teachings and a lot of these ways, is to just, like, first of all, just give thanks for where we are. Like, okay, this is where we are. This is who I am. I was born Anishinaabe. And if I want to practice some of these things, you know, offer tobacco and ask for guidance to do that, and ask for these things to be brought back to our lives, because that's a lot of labor. That's a lot of things to do. And, you know, for myself, I'm so caught up in, you know, paying bills and going from here to there, and you know, everything's so digital right now. But I do know how good I feel when, like, I'm not in front of a screen or when I'm in nature. And that's just a confirmation for me to, like, that is really who I am and really where I should be and where naturally I should, you know, go to re-energize myself. So I don't want anybody to take these stories and feel bad about it. Just being alive as Anishinaabe in 2025 is really a huge feat in itself. And if you are interested in learning about traditional ways, or, like, you know, if you're in the city and you're like, man, I love fishing and I really want to learn how to make a net, you know, reach out to people. I know that there's elders and I know it seems like a distant to, like, connect with them, but just start asking questions. If you know somebody in the community that knows about culture, just ask them a question like, hey, who can I talk to about learning about this? Or there's so many different cultural organizations, and there's a lot of cultural and spiritual leaders in our community that you can ask. So if that just sparks, you know, something within you and your spirit and you want to do something, you can. You just got to make up your mind and say, this is the way I want to walk. I want to put on some moccasins. I want to learn these things. There's ways. There's a path. I know it's a little challenging, like if you've never made moccasins, if you never, you know, we've all had to wear, you know, our shoes in the city. And I've been being more conscious about my shoes too, like the distance between my feet and the ground. Just thinking about that. And I think that's like the first step of like, maybe I should connect somehow. And I think that's why we have moccasins. And that's why our ancestors, and we do wear moccasins, because the natural, the natural material of the animal skin on your feet are natural conductors. So when you put your foot in the moccasin, it's like protection on the earth, you know, but it also doesn't block the earth's energetic field. Because when you, like nowadays, new agey white folks, they call it grounding. So they'll take their shoes off and put their feet on the ground. And it's been known to, like, increase health benefits. It's beneficial. And it's so funny because it's like, you're just now, like, figuring that out. It's so funny when science, everyone's like, ooh, look at, they're grounding. And it's like, yeah. We've been doing that for hundreds of years with our moccasins. And even though they're shoes, like, it still is energetically, it charges you, because your feet are, like, if you look at your whole biology, and including your spiritual aspect of who you are, your feet are really conductors. So they pick up energy from the earth, and that's why we walk on our feet, is because they, you know, they help to pick up that energy from the earth, and then our moccasins are natural conductors of that. So it's funny, it's hilarious when science is like, ooh, look at this new study that's been done, that, oh my god, it's like they repackage it for themselves and like, oh, and then they give themselves permission to do it. Anywho, thank you, science, as my Tiblo Chante Maza would say. Thank you, science. Way to go. But yeah, I'm just gonna end with a little bit of powwow jams. I really appreciate you spending time with me. It's close to the end of our hour. I really appreciate you being here every Friday, listening in to Medicine Bundle. You are amazing. I just want to encourage you all to just follow your heart, listen to your spirit, connect with other people, your family, be in the present moment, and just sending lots of love and healing vibes to you guys. You guys rock. I love you. All right. This is Medicine Bundle. You've been listening to D-Ray, Deanna Standing Cloud, Gate to Bikwe, and I will be back next week. Me Kwech, Pizandawian.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to the Native Roots.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
corn cup, penny cup,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway. They're one